Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay.
What's happening?
Happy Friday.
Oh, is it ever, baby. And you know who else it's a happy Friday
it's
for?
Happy Friday.
Steve Kerr. Because he's going to give you some good news right now if you're a Warriors fan. Listen to Steve Kerr, NBA
Friday,
on ESPN
Max.
Radio. That's right. Friday. More good news for Warriors fans, according to Kerr. Listen.
Steph fully expects to play. Horford rolled on top of him during the scrum for the loose ball. And I don't really know the extent of the injury. He's not going in for an MRI or anything like that. And he says he'll be ready to go, so I believe him.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Jay, I mean, it's Friday. We should be relaxed, having a good time. But go ahead. Start making your sports point.
You know, it was funny. I was talking to one of my boys yesterday, and living in New York City for as long as I have, I've had moments when I've been younger where you're out, you're hanging out, you know, you're walking around, and you step off the curb, and you don't see it. You're not paying attention, maybe, and you roll your ankle, right? And it happened to one of my boys, and his ankle literally was – black and blue for like a week. And he's like, man, like this high ankle sprain, just can't get off it, right? And we were talking like, so you had that happen to you like a couple years ago. It took you a week to get over it. Now imagine somebody 6'9", 240 pounds falling on your ankle. And even though you can say, hey, it's not as bad as it was, you know, 2 months ago when Marcus Smart dove on your ankle that forced you to be out for a long time. For a guy that moves around off the ball as much as Steph moves throughout the course of a game, you talk about the term perpetual motion. That is Steph Curry in a nutshell, right? It's almost like he moves in an infinity-like state. He's always moving around. So for a guy that pushes off, I really do think he'll have a lot of shorts tonight initially, that shots that will be short because of his ankle or his foot being stiff. Now, he can settle into the game, but I think initially – who else is going to pick up the slack for them offensively and come out and help carry the load at the beginning of the game? Because I think Steph is going to be tender for him.
Yeah, when a guy usually has some sort of ankle injury, the first initial jolt is always painful. So you're going to see the grimace. You're going to see the calm nature of the pain, but laying on the floor, or laying on the field, and see the grimace. So the first thing you're going to say is, oh, my God, it really looks egregious. There's something really wrong with it. Mind you, he did stay in the game. The only reason why he came out the game is because, as Steve Kerr pointed out, they're down by 14 points, 2 minutes to go. Why would you keep him in the game? You just get him out of the game, rest him up. That's why immediately after the game, Steph Curry said, I think I'm going to play on Friday. And now, as of yesterday, we know he's going to play today. So I'm not overly worried as much as Jay is about those sort of things, because Jay's looking at the motion, the ability for him to be able to move around and stay quick like he's been in the past. I think he still will be that guy, because once he told me on Thursday he was going to play basically on Friday, I knew it wasn't that deep and that serious.
So a couple of things, Max. When you roll your ankle, like, and I've rolled my ankle many a times and have stayed in games, your adrenaline is so high, right? You're like, oh, I'll stay in it. And you typically strap your shoe up tighter, right? You make your ankle brace tighter in order to keep the swelling down. It's typically the day afterwards where you start getting that ankle tightness. And for
stiffness,
me,
yeah.
If it's his left leg, if anything, defensively now, if I'm Boston, I'm forcing him to be a driver, right? Because think about it, as a righty, he's jumping off that left leg every single time. So is your lift the same as it was before? Or now you're doing more things off 2 feet that slows you down? So once again, I'm not letting you get going in transition. I'm not letting you get shots. I'm forcing you to be a driver jumping off that left leg.
Not only is it normally, I think everyone can relate to not a high ankle sprain necessarily, but some kind of rolling of your ankle. And when it's, think of how much worse a high ankle sprain is. Even if you just roll your ankle kind of just for a second, like, you might be limping for the rest of the day, but a high ankle sprain, boy, you're out of commission. And I'm not saying he has one, but.
And is it his ankle or is it his foot?
His foot.
His foot.
His foot.
So it's a totally different injury than a foot is totally different than an ankle. It's not the same.
Yeah. And by
the way that they landed on him, it didn't really look like his ankle.
It didn't look like he'd be missing time or something like that.
No.
It didn't look like that. But
it just looked hard because the dude's big.
But this series, we've seen Steph play great and really not get timely contributions from teammates that you'd want. Now, I mean, Steph is always like the engine of a team, right? He's the guy making it happen. But in this series in particular, he's had to make it happen, and sometimes that hasn't been enough because he hasn't had contributions. Now guys really probably going to have to pick up the slack, Jay, according to your analysis of it.
Well, somebody's going to have to pick up the slack.
Maybe more than one, right?
For them to win this damn series. I mean, let's be honest about it. Boston looks like a younger, more energetic team. Now, granted, Golden State has been in all these games. So Golden State, game one, had a double-digit lead before Jaylen Brown goes crazy in the fourth quarter, right? Game two, they come out, they put their stamp on game two. Draymond plays his tail off, they win that ball game. Game three, you know, Boston comes out, they play hard from the beginning, but still, third quarter run, Golden State's there. But I would make this point, because a lot of people say, well, Golden State always seems like they're there, let's give them an advantage. Yo, I don't know if Golden State is not as battle-tested over the last month and a half, 2 months, the way Boston has been battle-tested. It almost seems like Boston is more comfortable playing the game in the trenches because they've gone through KD, Kyrie. They've gone through Giannis. They've gone through Jimmy Butler and that team of the Miami Heat.
Golden State hasn't had to do anything like that recently.
They haven't gone through that. Denver, you're talking about Dallas. Like, it hasn't been those.
That's so interesting.
Memphis was that a little bit, but Ja Morant going out, it changed that series.
That's so interesting because you think automatically, Golden State's the more experienced team. But, Key, it's kind of like when you talk about, yeah, they had time off, but they had too much time off. Like, Golden State's more experienced, but right now, in terms of the rhythm of the game, actually, Boston has been more consistently battle-tested. They're maybe a little bit more ready as a result of that. One of the things that struck me yesterday, that we didn't get into yesterday, was Draymond having that really bad game. But, like, it was hidden in plain sight for me. We spent all of the show after game two, the three of us talking about what you do if you're Boston. Do you send Marcus Smart out there to try to be the bully, right, to set the tone? Does that box Draymond? Because if Boston does that and then teams are warned, now Draymond can't retaliate. Key, you were like, man, they're going to talk to the players before this game, make sure it doesn't get too chippy and out of control. But all of that, to me, I don't know if it led to or not. You tell me. That was the prologue. Then the game starts, and Draymond doesn't play with force, as he said. After game three, he said, I didn't play with force. How much of that was because after game two, it was such a big deal about his antics in game two?
That could be the case. I mean, it could be the case where he was, even though he said what he said on his podcast or in his interviews about he's got to be Draymond Green and play a certain way, but if the coaches or whoever is walking up to you and telling you, you know what, they're watching you tonight, be careful because they're not going to put up with this. It could take something away from them. It could have. That could very well be the case. But I don't want to lose sight of they lose to Boston in the second half of a game and all of a sudden we like starting to act as though we're finding every excuse as to why Golden State is going to lose this particular series, where after game two, we found every excuse to talk about why they're going to win it. I don't want to be that guy.
Here's what Draymond
blowing like the wind.
Here's what Draymond had to say. It has been a series that has blown back and forth so far, but this is what Draymond had to say about what he needs to do differently in game four.
I approached the game differently. Everything else falling in play. There's no big X and O adjustment in the NBA Finals. You know what they do. They know what you do. Now who's going to go play with the more force and win the game? They did that tonight. We got to come out and do that on Friday.
So if I'm Dre, what I'm trying to do, if I'm Steve Kerr, first off, I'm going to utilize my bench more. I'm going to get younger guys in the game to spell minutes for my older guys in Kuminga and also Moses Moody. And secondly, and more importantly, I'm going to increase the tempo of the game. Like, Golden State needs to find ways in which they can score easily. That has to happen in transition. How do you get Draymond Green going? You force him on rebounds or after made shots. You push that damn ball down the court as fast as possible. You get shots. You go momentum. But it also starts for him on the defensive end. But playing faster is what they need to do.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Yes, the Warriors need Draymond Green to get in the zone tonight in Game 4. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone.
There
get in the Zone, AutoZone. One franchise heading toward a dynasty? What would you call it? While another is heading toward the end of one?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
So this whole thing, Key, I've never heard of milkshakes at cookouts.
Why are you talking about milkshakes at cookouts?
Because it's a thing that's been going on. It's been happening, Max. Have you not heard about this?
I haven't heard about it, but I'm trying to think of how I would feel about that. I might feel pretty good if someone handed me after I'm done eating a milkshake at a cookout.
No.
No.
No, you don't do...
But it's like you saying spaghetti and meatballs. You're not expecting it, but if someone... I'm just trying to think of my reaction if someone handed me one. I'd be like, what's this?
Well, it's first of all, it's going to be too damn hot.
Yeah.
It should be hot because most people having cookouts, you know, and on the weekends, and it's probably hot and nice out, at least out here it is. And it's going to just be watered down. You're drinking milk.
I wonder if you think there's something in there, you know what I mean, Key? Like it's spiked with something you would think if someone handed you a milkshake.
Nah, I don't see a milkshake at a cookout. Frozen drink, maybe, just maybe, depending on if we come into your spread, Max, you probably have frozen drinks out at the poolside, something like that. But for the most
daiquiris.
Part, yeah, for the most part, nobody has blended drinks at a cookout.
Yeah.
They really just don't. It takes too much damn time to blend stuff, do all of that.
That's right.
The only thing I'm blending are like pina coladas.
Why are we talking
pina
about
pina coladas are the thing I would blend.
Yeah. Somebody talked about it. I don't know who it was, but somebody talked about it.
So Elisa Lang. Okay.
Jay,
yes.
Alyssa Lang brought this up,
yes.
But she wasn't talking about an actual cookout that has like burgers and fries and stuff like that. Y'all ever been to cookout like the restaurant? You can get the milk.
But this is on
that's
Alyssa.
That's what she meant by the tweet.
She spelled it, but cookout the restaurant is spelled COOK space OUT.
Yeah, no,
she
I'm not
just spelled
that.
A cookout.
I'm not buying tweet, that theory by Yates.
That's, on her tweet, she says, "What is the best cookout milkshake
I
flavor,
that has
and
to
why
be
is
right.
it strawberry cheesecake?"
Which is a flavor at Cookout Creamery.
That has to be. No, Yates has to be right about this because are we really talking about just regular cookouts with strawberry cheesecake?
I saw a cookout and I interpreted that as like a summertime cookout.
So it's a restaurant cookout. Okay,
yeah,
well, that's different.
That makes
fire too, by the way, and it's cheap, 40 seconds, but it's cheap.
Where's Cookout? I've never been.
Doesn't Rick Ross have a lot of? No, that's Wingstop.
Yeah, it's in the
Wingstop.
South.
Cookout. Yeah, Cookout's in
Virginia.
Oh, like,
okay.
I'm
trying to remember
stuff like that.
Georgia, South Carolina.
Yeah. But I don't drink. But like I don't do milkshakes regardless. Anyway, I don't.
Why not?
I'm trying to think of how many years it's been since I could have something like a strawberry cheesecake milkshake. At least 15, 20 years.
Sweet, I watch man, you eat Jay? Breakfast every
no,
morning.
No, but I
you
can't.
Have...
No, if I do that, I'm messing up. I'm messing up.
And it's too sweet.
Yeah.
Really? Key, when's the last time? So you never had a milkshake?
No, I had plenty of milkshakes. I probably haven't had a milkshake in 20, 30 years, though.
Yeah.
Some of the things we had some preparation with Miami off-ball actions. Now we're taking it to another level with their execution and their shooters.
Just respect in terms of understanding what he brings to the table and that in the floor. He's relentless. He's physical. He's smart. Finds a way to be in the right place at the right time.
So we gotta make it as tough as possible, and you know, make sure nothing is easy. Because if it's easy, it's gonna be a tough time.
Yeah, play that C Breezy, Yates. Tell him, I'm telling you, Chris Brown over Michael Jackson. I said it. I'm with you, Ryan Clark.
And there are reasons you don't want to really.
I mean, yeah, I'm saying, but dancing music, stop. Dancing music, that's all I'm focused on. It's Friday.
Michael Jackson, you're talking about music from 40 years ago, it still sounds good.
I hear you. I'm just more of a Chris Breezy guy. That's you know, that's me. You're a Michael Jackson guy. That's fine.
No, don't frame me.
Gee, nobody's framing anything. Key?
I'm MJ. I'm sorry. You can say what you want to say. I'm
just
Michael
don't
Jackson.
Like the way who's Jay, I don't like the way Jay phrased it.
Who's a better dancer? Chris Brown, man.
Judging people's dancing
Chris
now.
Chris Brown, man.
But
yes.
You have to put it in the context of its era, Jay.
We're breaking. No,
it's like watching Dr. J dunk a ball. Of course, guys improve on it, but in its day, there was nothing
Mike
like it.
Mike was trying to have a concert at 60, man. Come on now. He was getting ready to go on a world tour. So, I mean, look, man, I don't want to turn the conversation into MJ, but.
I mean, woo! Yeah, I mean, it does.
This is like
it
his 58th best song. Stop it. You know what I mean?
Not 58, 98.
Yeah, 98.
Okay, so Michael Jackson.
Not even the top 100.
Better singer. I give you that. But yeah. Chris Brown, better dancer.
Yeah, but like, for example, in Motown 25,
said, though,
when Michael Jackson. Look.
I said I would take the whole package of Chris Brown over Michael Jackson.
Whoa,
that's
raising.
What
whoa, what?
Listen, here's the thing.
I can't with everybody.
Hey, yo!
Here's the thing. In Motown 25, when Michael Jackson broke out the moonwalk, that changed like everything in popular culture all around the world.
Jay wasn't even born when Motown 25 came out.
What year did that come out?
But that was 83.
Okay,
but
84.
I was three.
So you guys are 20. I understand.
No, he don't know
25 years old.
He don't
you guys are grown men already. I get at the club.
Yo, that was like Dr. J dunking from the foul line. It blew everyone's mind.
And who did it better? Michael Jordan did it better.
Are we forgetting when Chris Brown did the tribute on BET? And
thank you, Yates.
He was in the mirror in his hallway.
No,
y'all sound old right now.
Yeah, when that happened.
I love Chris Brown, dog. Yeah. I ain't even gonna front. Chris Brown is very talented. I got, you know, I call you all the time and tell you to play Chris Breezy all the
you
time.
You said Chris Breezy?
All Breezy, all the time.
See,
but at the end of the day, ain't nothing like Mike, man. I'm sorry.
Ain't no real Chris Breezy.
The only thing, see, Jay going with the, Chris Brown can make art and he can hoop.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
You know, he
well,
got
Mike
clothing.
Can hoop.
I just can't call it the package. You know what
Prince.
I mean?
Prince can hoop.
Oh, Prince. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Come on, man. Mike, Blouses. Hey,
Prince
Jay.
Hoop.
One thing before you move, Max, that's Super Bowl.
Wait, what?
I can't with Key.
Is he leaning right now?
Why are you what is wrong?
Oh, my God.
You?
He's really
you're
holding it, too.
Stop.
I think Key's shot may have frozen.
See, you don't, see, that's how young you are. You don't remember Michael Jackson just.
The stare, yeah, at the Super Bowl. Yeah, I remember the stare. It needs to make those little sounds.
Jay, I'm trying to seriously think about a moment in popular culture, a moment that was as big, not bigger, as big as Michael Jackson Moonwalk Motown 25. That may have been the biggest single moment in the history of worldwide popular culture.
Okay.
Right? Like, so maybe don't compare anybody there.
I'm sorry, man. Y'all got me fired up now about Mike. I'd have been at Mike concerts, man. I'd have watched people sit there and just cry and just come on, man. Stop. Max. Let's go.
I'm not
let's
saying
go to
he's
sports,
a bigger
Max.
Star.
Come on, man.
I didn't say that.
We wasting minutes.
We're not wasting
this.
Time.
Let's
this
go.
Is critical
Clay
debate
Thompson
that America
or,
needs.
Clay Thompson or Reggie Miller. No, listen to Clay Thompson, NBA on ESPN Radio. Talk about these finals.
All right. You look. Hey. Messed up.
Michael Jackson did the moonwalk, and I had windmills within
Key,
6 months.
Get your head out of the gutter.
Hey, man.
Take control of the show,
here's
man.
Here's Clay Thompson. Listen to Clay Thompson right here.
Well, you have to realize that time is not on our side anymore. Treat tomorrow as a must-win. Even though it's not a closeout game, it's still incredibly important to get one here. That was our goal the whole time, and they just outplayed us game 3. I mean, there's no way around it. That's and we're gonna you know, the best part about the playoffs is how you respond, and never underestimate the heart of a champion, and we have a lot of those.
Just letting you know right then and there, we ain't going away. That's all that is. We got the heart of champions. Y'all might have stole one on our home court. Y'all might have got up one at your home on us. But we not going away because we got a heart of champions. And that's a message being sent loud and clear to Boston and Boston fans.
I'm so pumped up for tonight. Obviously, the game's at 9 o'clock on ABC. So Friday night, feel like I have all everything ready, prepared to watch the game tonight.
Oh, you can sleep in the next day. It's so good.
Who's sleeping in? I got two kids. Nobody's
sleeping
in. I got three.
Another
kid. Yeah, what you sleeping
in? Don't wake up daddy before 8 a.m.
6 a.m. is happening. But still sleeping in our job. All I would say, though, Key, it's interesting for me. I would say Clay got going. I still don't feel like we've seen supernova Clay yet, right? Which is for a big-time game four that I kind of feel that this is a must-win for Golden State. It's a must-win.
I think personally it's a must-win for both units. And the reason I say that is when you look up, you rather certainly, as you know, Jay, you rather be 3-1, no question about it. But all of a sudden you 2-2 and you going up against – a Golden State Warrior team with all that experience and understanding that things like doubts creep in your mind. I don't give a damn how successful you've been on the road in the regular season or 7-0 on the road in the playoffs. The finals are a different situation. You don't want to have an opportunity to annihilate someone and then you let them creep back in. That's just my only point why I believe it's a big game for both teams.
I just feel like if Boston loses, Boston has – some element of confidence that they've won one in Golden State, right? Even though they came back down double digits in the fourth quarter, like they won one.
It's two pronged. Not only the obvious 2-2 versus 3-1, but the horizons for Boston look longer than Golden State. Clay mentioned it. You know, the clock is ticking on this Golden State nucleus on Steph, Clay, Dre. And so I think, therefore, Key, not only is a 3-1 hole obviously different than a 2-2 series, even if the other team came back on you to get to 2-2. But Boston is looking at two young stars who've had a lot of success together already, 25 or under, versus Golden State, who, you know, Draymond looks a half step slow in this series. Clay has already had a couple catastrophic injuries.
But see, this is what kills me with y'all sports talk radio kind of guys. All of a sudden, Draymond looked a step slow. Well, he didn't look a step slow in game two. He didn't look a step slow in three quarters of the first game. Y'all need to stop
but
trying
he did
to
in
flip
game
it.
Three.
Key, oh, God, Key, stop, man.
Key, so he had a great game two, right? His stat line. My man does in all these games have 15 points and 15 personal fouls.
Jaylen Brown wanted him in that game.
As a primary defender in this series, Key, like, individuals are shooting 49% against him. That means one of every two shots basically is going
in. We done brought up all these statistics about Draymond Green because they lose and he had a bad game. I just can't, Jay. I can't play that game.
Those are opinions based on the facts that are the stats, so Key.
I understand there's opinions based on the facts that's the stats. But in game two, those stats were still there from game one.
That's my point, though, Key.
And we didn't bring them up.
We did bring them up. We talked about how impactful he was in the game. Look at his stat line in game three.
Yes,
it was nowhere close to game two. So when two out of the three games are crappy games, that's going to be the reason why we're going to talk about Draymond Green's impact.
Pat Beverly brought this up on This Just In yesterday, 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN. He said that, like, Jaylen Brown is hunting. He's hunting Draymond. He wants Draymond. When the star on the other team says, I want that dude, and then gives him the business consistently, it's a bad look. Guy coming off his rookie year who's already the face of his city? Well, that was fast. Plus, MJ or Chris Brown, your call's next.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
It's Friday, boy. Catch me on the west side with the windows down, Key.
Yeah, for sure. Man, I rock with him all day, but MJ, though, is different, man. One is gold and one is platinum. It's different.
You can't compare something that happened 40 years ago to happen something that happened more recently.
You do it every day in all your takes.
No. No, I always contextualize. Always.
He got you on that one.
No, but Max. Key, I'm never, you got to take it in the context of its era. I'm not saying Chris Brown didn't hit hard. I'm saying that his stuff didn't land hard. Saying that Michael Jackson, the impact of Michael Jackson on popular culture in his day was exponentially bigger.
I'm not arguing.
No, he's just saying he believes Mike is more, Chris Brown is more talented than MJ. And I push back on that because I've seen Michael Jay. Have you ever seen Michael in concert at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I met MJ. I met him.
No, but I'm saying, have you seen him in concert?
I just didn't look into his eyes. What?
Did you see him in concert?
That was Prince too, but Michael too. Huh? Yes. I've seen him in concert, yes.
See, I saw him in concert five times in my life. Okay?
Hey, Keisha.
I've seen the Victory Tour. I've seen it all. I've seen it at Dodger Stadium.
When they got the Jackson 5 back together.
Oh, I saw it all, man.
It was six by then.
I saw him at a fundraiser event where he left the stage and everybody still was there. An hour waiting for him to come back out, he was already at home. People was crying. Yeah, it was a different experience.
When you talk about talent, Jay.
I understand the impact of it. I'm just saying, like, have you ever been to a Chris Brown concert?
No, I don't really like going to concerts.
I don't really like going to concerts.
I'm just saying, like, I know what you guys are saying. I'm not comparing the impact worldwide. I'm just saying the talent within itself, the dancing, everything combined.
But here's, this is what I'm saying,
Chris
Jay.
Chris Brown,
this is
it's
what I'm
better
saying.
Than
Let's
MJ.
Let's take it to sports. If you said who could do more things dunking the ball than Vince Carter, probably no one, right? But let's take Zach LaVine. Dr. J was ridiculously talented, but he didn't have Dr. J and Michael Jordan and everything to base his stuff on. So the raw talent is as high. Dr. J had as much raw talent as anyone who ever lived. But the what he did with the talent is not going to be as advanced as some dudes who came after him because they could build on what he did.
But Max, Michael Jackson was advanced.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not.
He came
key,
up
I'm
with
saying,
the damn moonwalk.
He's diminishing Chris Brown because he's saying Chris Brown is just building upon what
it's
Michael
not
Jackson.
It's not a matter of
well,
diminishing
that's,
Chris
that's
Brown.
Very,
that's what you're doing.
That is very true.
It's pumping
if
up
that's
Michael
what
Jackson.
Saying.
That's what you're doing.
If that's what Max is doing, that's very true.
Feels
Chris
to me
Brown,
that's what he's doing, you know?
It's but not Chris Brown
that's
is
what he's
building
doing.
Up.
He's doing the Max on
he's certainly, he's certainly building on what Michael Jackson created and did. I mean, come on. It's not – I don't know anybody in pop culture, anybody in the entertainment business, music, whatever, that's getting ready to tell you Chris Brown is more talented than Michael Jackson.
Hey, Key, you know what? I don't care what Jay says. He's entitled to his own opinion. I think Michael Jackson was very talented. But Jay, you're entitled to your own opinion. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. We're brought to you by Mako. When life throws you uh-ohs, just say, better get Mako. Go to Mako.com to get an online estimate today. People want to talk about this, by the way.
Just Jack Del Rio me. That's what you just did.
I mean the, what? Hey, whoa.
Whoa.
Like, once again, phrasing.
What?
Hey, phrasing.
What that means is saying some really stupid stuff
loud,
right?
It's really Friday.
Marlon in Rochester wants to get in on this.
Yeah, I mean, hands down, it's Michael Jackson. Chris Brown get all his moves from Michael Jackson, and Michael Jackson get all his rules from the original, James Brown. And I called in a couple months ago, and I'm going to remind you guys again, Patrick Mahomes is overrated. And one more thing I got to say is, everybody getting the Rams credit for signing all these players. Tampa did it before. You know what I'm saying? Then one more other thing I like to say is, I bet you Tampa win the Super Bowl this year.
Man, how old are you?
Me? I'm 51. How old you is, bro?
Oh, damn.
Okay. All right.
He coming in. No, he's spitting that fire
I'm
this young, morning.
I'm younger than you. I just wanted to know because, you know, when you say Michael Jackson, I just needed to know. That's all.
Yeah, it's like an age.
Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes
that's
is overrated, but he threw 50 touchdowns his first full year as a starter. He's already won a Super Bowl and an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. Come on, man. Derek in Chicago wants a piece of this, too. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, so this nonsense woke me up out of my sleep. Jay Will is absolutely right.
Yes!
Chris Brown is far more talented than Michael Jackson. Oh. It's like, it doesn't necessarily make him better. I think he's better. But Kyrie Irving is far more talented than Magic Johnson.
No. You see you're conflating two different words.
Hold on. How old are you?
Talented. 29.
Okay. That's
here's
why.
Here's what people do. Keith.
There you go. You
they
young,
conflate
man.
Talent and skills. Talent is your capacity to do something. Skills is how you refine that capacity, right? If you want to say Kyrie is more skilled than whoever, than AI or whoever, okay. But to say he's more talented, man, if AI were playing today, stop. No one's more talented than Allen Iverson. He just didn't have a whole extra generation of players to build on.
Sounds
that,
like excuses
that Kyrie
to me.
Did.
Anyway, Dave Kaplan, you're a Chicago guy. I don't know where you stand on this whole thing, but like this whole MJ, Chris Brown, it's not a debate in my opinion. I think Chris Brown is more talented overall than Michael Jackson. Where do you stand on this issue?
For me, it's Michael Jackson's like secretariat at the Belmont. This ain't even close, Jay. You should be embarrassed.
Nah.
Chris Brown, yes. Very talented, great. Michael Jackson, stop yourself.
The exact
this is a generational
get this
thing.
Dude, man.
All you old guys. It's like,
it has nothing to do with being old.
Walk around my
Jay
cane.
Thinks the world.
I grew up with Chris Brown,
Michael
too.
Jackson, you know.
Jay thinks the world started in 1997.
Well, I mean,
no, 2007.
Yeah, right. 97 is going back too far.
You guys
already.
Are 50 years old in 2007. What do you want me to do?
we just have experience in life.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. So Cap, David Kaplan, we're talking to co-host of Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Cap, Justin Fields was seeing taken batting practice at Wrigley Field yesterday, which led us to ask. Who's the face of Chicago sports right now?
Yeah,
you explain.
Probably somebody in a front office because everybody seems to be rebuilding other than the White Sox. I would have to
Tony
say
LaRusso.
The face of Chicago sports is indeed Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. It's got to be. Hockey, look, Patrick Kane's an amazing player. He's the best U.S.-born player ever. He's going to Hall of Fame. But it's hockey. And that's not a shot. It's just a fact. Nobody on the current version of the Bulls is the face of the team. The Cubs, no chance. The White Sox, no. They got a good team, but no, they have nobody that's the face of Chicago. It's Justin Fields, and it's not close.
Yeah, it feels that way, though, right? It feels like Justin Fields, the biggest sport in Chicago, because, like you said, the Bulls have no real face there. And when you're the quarterback of an NFL team and he's unique, he's young, when you look at it, it's got to be Justin Fields.
Well,
got to be.
Cap, that's the thing. It's interesting. And I know that for a guy that didn't play a lot of games last year and kind of was like fighting back and forth with Andy Dalton and company and obviously the coaching situation and Matt Nagy, You do have DeMar DeRozan in the city who was in the MVP conversation. Now, I know they fizzled out early, but wow, one dude was in the MVP conversation. Like, he gets no consideration?
No, not even close. He wouldn't even be number two for me.
Who would be number two? Patrick Kane?
Zach LaVine certainly would be somebody I would consider. It's much more of Zach's town than DeMar's town. Like, people like DeMar. They love that he had a great year, but they're like, okay, dude showed up and had one really good year. He's not the face of Chicago sports. It's not even close. No.
Yeah.
No shot.
You know, with that being said, how much pressure, though, overall, is it on the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields?
Oh, God. There's a ton of pressure. First of all, I truly think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And that's okay because they picked their lane. They let Khalil Mack walk and Akeem Hicks walk and Allen Robinson walk. Like, did nothing to improve this team in terms of free agency. Nothing. And they didn't have a first-round pick. So they're going to pick their lane, and a year from now they'll have $150 million in cap space and hopefully a top-five pick. So Justin has to have at least a decent season. Like, we have to look, and our eyes have to go, yeah, that dude's a really good player. They just got to get help for him around him. They just got to keep him alive. I don't know if that offensive line can protect him. I don't know who he's throwing to. I mean, you know, all of a sudden the people around here who are, you know, they would think the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl if I was playing for them. There are people, oh, Byron Pringle and Equanimeous St. Brown, these dudes are going to just ball up. I don't see that. I don't. So we'll see where this team goes, but there is pressure on Justin, and I think he's up to it. I think he had a comment to the media recently. He said, I know what I'm in for, and I was built for this. So let's go.
David Kaplan, host of Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 with us, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. So White Sox skipper Tony La Russa, Cap, he walks Trey Turner in a 1-2. By the way, I'll tell you right now, I had no problem with I agree with La Russa. But, okay, he walks Trey Turner in a 1-2 count yesterday to face Max Muncy, who then hit a three-run home run to put the game out of reach. Here's the question asked to Tony La Russa and his response about why, with a 1-2 count, does he walk Trey Turner and then pitch to Max Muncy?
Can you explain the thought process on the intention to walk with
To Turner?
Turner. At 1-2 on the count.
So let me ask you a question. Okay. Is there some question about whether that was a good move or not?
At 1-2 is the question. At the count.
Do you know what he hits against left-hand pitching with 1-0-1 or two strikes? Do you know what he hits? Well, you know what Muncy hits with two strikes with against a left-hand pitcher? I mean, is that really a question? Because it was 1-2? Turner with a strike left against a left-hander is not something you can avoid if you can. And we had an open base, and Muncy happened to be the guy behind him, and that's a better matchup. Here again, somebody disagrees. That's the beauty of this game. Welcome to it. But that wasn't a tough call.
Was there a reason to wait until 1-2, though? Was there a reason to not do it right away and wait till 1-2?
Well, that's when the pitch got away.
So when he says that's when the pitch got away, in other words, he throws a wild pitch or he throws a ball a wild pitch in which the runner advances to second base. So now it's 1-2. What do you think about that, Cap?
Yeah, I completely disagree with Tony. And the numbers are that Trey Turner, I believe it's 259 key hits with two strikes, which is elite. I mean, that is really, really elite in the game of baseball. But on a 1-2 pitch, you're going – first of all, I was talking to Scott Podsednik, who's our analyst who played for the 05 World Champion.
Yeah,
White
left
Sox.
Field and center field.
He said, I could tell you that had I been in the on-deck circle or any other major leaguer, you feel so disrespected, you are firing me up beyond belief walking into that batter's box. And if you go back and watch the video of Max Muncy when he hit home plate, it was as profane and directed at La Russa tirade as I've seen in a while. And he was offended. So, yeah, I would not have done what Tony did. I vehemently disagree with him. and I thought it was an awful decision.
But Capsy, when it's
1-2 with first base open because somebody's on second, I mean, I get his thought process and his thinking, but that is disrespectful, Cap. Now all of a sudden you're moving on from the at-bat guy to the on-deck circle guy because you feel you could just, I'm an easy layup for you. And now Muncy steps up to the plate and goes yard.
That may be. And those are reasons why you wouldn't want to do it. I don't consider it controversial at all. You may disagree with the call, but the bottom line is...
No, it's not controversial. It's just a bad managing...
I don't think
it is. It's a bad managing decision.
It didn't turn out well, but guys...
Cap just said the dude hit 259.
No, but 259 nowadays with two strikes isn't bad. His OPS is over 700. And 27 plate appearances versus lefties with a two-strike count before yesterday, Max Muncy was batting 100 with a 483 OPS. Like the point is,
yeah, but Max Muncy's getting a clean bill. But,
he's getting a clean bill walking up there with two guys on now because you intentionally walked him and put him at first with the guy at second. I understand a lefty at a lefty. I've never subscribed to a lefty on a lefty, a righty on a righty. If you can bat, you can bat.
Yeah, but
analytics look at it. But if I can swing the wood, I can swing the wood.
Platoon splits exist. I mean, lefties have a hard time a lot of times of seeing lefties because they don't see a lot of them. They don't hit well against them, so they see fewer of them, et cetera, to compounds. But the bottom line is open base now. A right-hander's up against a left-hander. He hits pretty well with two strikes, which sometimes happens. Cap guys look for contact more at two strikes. The manager's like, we have an open base. I'd rather face the lefty with men on first and second than the righty with a guy in scoring position.
So why not intentionally just walk him in the first place? Is that because the wild pitch came and we advanced the guy to second, so you made the decision mid-count that you're going to walk him? Otherwise, you could have just intentionally walked him when he stepped up to the plate.
Because it may be that La Russa looks and goes, he as a two-strike hitter, this guy looks for contact more, and contact's all you need with a guy in scoring position. If he's on second base and a guy hits a single, he could score a run. On first base, not so much. I get it. I'm not saying, it didn't work out, but I don't find it controversial.
Good, it didn't work out. I'm a Dodger fan any damn way.
What do you think, Cap? All right, last word, Cap, on that.
Yeah, I just thought it would – look, the pitcher was Bennett Souza. It was not like Max Scherzer was out there, and I'm with Key. You're telling me if a lefty's coming to the plate and I got a real average, mediocre lefty, or I got a stud righty, well, the book says I got to go to the lefty. That's the dumbest baseball I've ever heard.
The dumbest.
I'm going to bring in a crappy guy because he throws from the left side.
Move though is against the guy who hits left-handed pitchers with two strikes. I don't know what it is. I have to look up the splits without like a minor leaguer, like a guy who's not even a major leaguer versus a guy who hits him pretty well. And listen, anyway,
yeah,
this is
I
a team
still,
cap. This
I'm
is a,
asking.
This is a team that
I'm asking Dr. Souza on the mound, Bennett Souza, to get one strike, dude, or at the very least. Can you not say to him, have a mound visit, you've got six of them, walk out there and say, all right, here's the deal. We'll try and have him get himself out. I don't want anything in the middle of the plate. Throw him down and away, big sweeping breaking ball, maybe it's a – and if he walks, fine. You aren't enraging Max Muncy getting in the batter's box who feels disrespected.
This is a team, Cap, that had World Series aspirations, right? Now, I don't think they're out of it. Were they five games back now? They're three games below 500, but that division is not unwinnable. Is La Russa on the hot seat?
No, absolutely. Not even a little bit. I mean, no, because he was hired by the owner. He's one of Jerry Reinsdorf's best friends. He fired him in 86, I think it was, and Jerry said, it's the single biggest mistake I ever made was firing Tony. And so he said, I'm bringing this dude back. He is not firing Tony La Russa. No chance. Hmm.
I'm trying to think, how close is La Russa?
And I'm not saying he should. I still think this team has been so banged up with injuries and COVID, they're going to get all their dudes back here in the next 2 weeks. Tim Anderson, Aloy Jimenez, Lance Lynn. I still think they win the division.
Yeah, I was going to say, how close is Tony La Russa to the face of Chicago team sports? It's not a lot to choose from at the moment, in fact. David Kaplan.
Nope.
From Cap and Jay Hood. Cap, thanks as always for joining us this morning.
All right, Cap.
You bet. You guys have a great weekend. And remember, Jay, not Chris Brown.
All right, Cap, if you say so, but I'm rolling with C. Breezy.
C over Michael Jackson. You. Ooh, that's bold, Jay.
What?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I'm not the only one at the network that believes this, by the way.
Hey, but that these people at this network don't know what the hell they're listening to.
Vincent Price.
Hey, look, man, you know, float to the, you know, whatever gives you, whatever makes you happy.
You know, what did Thriller sell, like 50 million records?
I'm not saying who had higher career earnings. That's not my thing. You're trying to make this into this debate around all these other subjects. I'm not doing that.
Billie Jean is what he did the moonwalk to. That's all.
Woo! Oh, girl! Billie Jean. Play that, Yates. Where's that
We
at?
Tried to break him up, and now every other team in the NBA would sign up for a Brown-Tatum duo. That's next. ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.